This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Now on Joy 94.9, this is The Glow Show with your hosts, Victoria Police LGBTI Liaison Officer Gabrielle Tyack, Joy's own Will Lanting, with a range of Victoria Police staff and Joy volunteers coming together to inform and support our diverse LGBTI communities. Here is The Glow Show on Joy.
And yes, welcome back to The Glow Show. Gabby, how are you this week?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
We've been dancing to the music.
We have been dancing
to the music. We love it.
We do love the music. I think it is quite popular out there.
It should be.
Now, we're building the show, we will intend and we are planning to have news, but we have our first guest in today.
Well, we know when this particular guest is in, there's no time for news. She is the news.
She is the news and she has all the news. We have the lovely Beck Lawther from Highway Patrol. Welcome.
I am so excited on so many levels. First of all, I think I might actually have a career in go-go dancing after listening to that music because I was getting probably a little bit too into it.
Might as well be in the cage.
I'm kind of glad this is radio and not television.
Me too.
It is.
But it is such a pleasure to be here and how exciting that we're like drive time.
Yes, I know. It's amazing. Who would have thought?
That's good because people are in their cars and we're going to give them some tips and some safety advice about how to drive.
I know. I can't.
It's unbelievable.
I know. It's really exciting.
Crazy.
I'm excited.
And I do need to mention that you were on the lovely Tom and Warren a couple of weeks ago.
I was.
Oh, what a.
Doing brekkie.
I listened to that. That was fantastic. You did a great job. So you're becoming very popular and very well known.
I'm
and
spending more time here than I am at work. Which is
nothing
terrible.
Wrong with that. Come on.
Well, you know, but we all want stories and I need to be out on the road to get stories.
True. We do need to be out there to get our stories.
Mm-hmm. We definitely do. Now, what's been happening out there that has been annoying you?
Oh, well, I thought of you the other day.
Oh, God.
Now.
Who were you arresting?
No, I wasn't arresting anyone, but let me tell you a story about a gentleman who he and his wife decided to pop over to Bali.
Oh,
you been
yeah.
to Bali, Will?
I have, yes.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know, walking around in Seminyak or Kuta. Mm-hmm. And often you're approached by some indescribables that may offer you some illicit substances that you hopefully will turn down.
We're not talking about fake Rolexes.
We're not talking it. Well, that's right. And we're talking about, in this particular story, we're talking about the offer of Viagra to this gentleman who's in his 50s. And he and his wife are over there in Bali, and he decided to take the offer up. I'm not sure at what point he thought that this gentleman was a pharmacologist. I'm not sure if he's
he didn't check his credentials or anything.
No,
like.
I think no. the extent of his pharmacology degree was the addition of chocolate to milk and other such chemistry experiments. Anyway, he purchased some little blue tablets. And it came back to Melbourne with the little blue tablets. Mm-hmm. And according to him, it's changed his life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's popping a couple of these little blue tablets every couple of days. And anyway, he got pulled over and test positive to
drugs. I'm glad you
drugs.
Said pulled over.
He got pulled over and he tested positive to methamphetamine.
Ooh.
So he hadn't purchased Viagra at all. He'd purchased methamphetamine stamped into a little blue pill.
Pretty much if someone comes up to you in the corner and says, hey, you want to buy this? It's not going to be what you think it is.
Didn't he?
I don't mean to laugh.
Did he not get
but
suspicious
really
when he
funny.
Noticed the lack of raising of certain things?
Well, you see, with amphetamine can create some different physiological reactions in the body, so he may have got what he was after. Unfortunately, though, yes, it turned out that he'd bought a whole bunch of methamphetamine.
And so now he's driving whilst...
So now he's going to lose his license, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
driving while drug affected.
Terribly serious police story there.
That's a bit stiff.
But also a little bit funny. Mm.
So did you say 50 years old?
Yeah, he's in his 50s, yeah.
Well, I'm probably not too far from that myself, and Viagra is probably the last thing I need.
Well, each to their own, Will. Each to their own.
Oh, God. I was lucky he didn't get stuck in his throat. He would have had a stiff neck all week.
Ah, ba-boom. Oh, do we have sound effects here?
What's the message, Beck?
There's a few
messages.
There's so many messages. Listen, if you need something prescribed, Get it prescribed.
And even if they're standing on the corner wearing a pair of glasses and a white coat, still probably not appropriate.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've all been to Bali, I'm sure.
I haven't.
Haven't you?
Not yet.
All right, get out. No, we've all, you know, I think we've all sort of experienced the slight underbelly of travel, and it's very risky business.
Bali
and,
is a bit of an experience.
It's I can tell you that he was very distressed when he realised that what had happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, not so clever.
Methamphetamine's quite addictive too.
It's extremely addictive.
So a little bit concerning.
It's extremely addictive.
If he's popping a few every couple of days, I don't know for how long, in a bit of a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that, and you said he was quite happy taking these things. So
yeah. They were working in many ways.
This is pretty good.
And I mean, I guess that starts to raise some more questions about some of the problems with drug driving. Drug driving seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, more problematic than drink driving at this stage.
I think
it's your pet hate, isn't it?
It is my pet hate. I'm really passionate about it. And I think because, well, I say just this part of the year, the first, you know, 6 or so months, I have pulled over the same person more than once on 3 occasions. So 3 different offenders, and I've pulled them over more than once for drug driving in 6 months in Melbourne. Like, what are the odds? Like, what are the odds of me finding these people again?
That means it's happening a lot.
I don't reside in the city. So, yeah, it means it's happening a lot. And a lot of these people, unfortunately, have addiction problems. So they'll never not have meth in their system. And I use meth because that as the example because that is most prevalent. So it's just this ongoing thing. So,
so they're also driving unlicensed.
Yeah, suspended and on drugs and... It's you know, I can't pull people over every day. I can't, you know, as much as I'd love to have the time and resources to sit off people's houses to make sure they don't drive, you know, I can't do that. But, you know, so it's just, it's rife, completely rife. And I think the other thing with that particular Viagra story is that it just goes to show you that it doesn't matter what you think you're buying, you never know what you're buying.
I sort of ask this question loosely and it rolls along those lines of, being aware of what you take. A lot of the people who are caught with drug driving, do you find there's a large percentage of them who are either victims of spiking or victims of mismanagement, not realizing what they are taking? Or the majority of the people that are out there offending, are they just genuine, deliberate drug users who aren't really the smartest people on the planet?
I think it's a little of all of those things. Okay. There's not that many people that I pull over that that make an allegation that they've been spiked. Some are just a little bit ignorant to what they've taken. So I've had a few people that have taken ecstasy and don't understand that has amphetamine in it. Or just a lack of understanding of how long they have to wait before they drive. So, I took it on Saturday night and I didn't drive all of Sunday because I knew I took it on Saturday night. So come across as really trying to do the right thing, but not understanding and not having any knowledge of how long it takes for that drug to get out of your system.
Because they can take days to weeks.
Days, yeah. Days and days. I've had, you know, depending on how often you use and, you know, the potency, this is the other thing, you know, on the side of a bottle of, I think we've spoken about this before, but a side of a bottle of, you know, Jim Beam will tell you how many standard drinks. It doesn't say that when you buy a pill.
Yeah.
You know, how much MDMA is in it.
And your friendly drug dealer on the corner probably doesn't really have an information sheet.
Exactly. Handy. So, you know, it might be out of your system in 24 hours one day and then, you know, you take something different and it takes 3 days to come out of
and
your
again,
system.
And again, you don't always or often know what you're taking.
Yeah. We all know that you shouldn't be taking illicit drugs, but at the same time, and I hate to say it, but it's never going to probably stop.
No.
So it's important that people are educated with, you know, the other risks associated with it. There's a lot of people out there that take party drugs like ecstasy and they don't mean to do any harm to other people when they get in the car and drive. They think everything's okay, but unfortunately ignorance is taking over a little bit.
And ignorance isn't bliss.
It is not bliss, no.
That is infinitely fascinating, Beck. We're going to just take a quick break. We'll be back to talk a little bit more, a lot more about Highway Patrol. Infinitely fascinating. Love this topic. You're listening to The Glow Show, Joy 949.
You're listening to The Glow Show on Joy. Back soon. Welcome back. This is The Glow Show on Joy.
And welcome back to The Glow Show. We have Beck Lawther from Highway Patrol, and we're talking everything about driving your car and being a good person on the road. And we've just been talking a little bit about drugs and some of the issues that sort of plaguing the roads at the moment.
Well, I think now, Will, given that you're extremely tired.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that.
I know.
Yeah, we should talk about what effect being fatigued has on driving.
I am a shift worker, and we do have problems having to deal with sleep management and sleeping odd hours. Sometimes we can be up 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So I'm a 12-hour shift worker, so it is not unusual for me to be up in the morning, do a day's household duties and activities, then go to work at 6 o'clock that night and do a 12-hour shift.
Yeah.
So, it's something that is on our mind a lot about.
And I don't think – it's something that we don't know a lot about, and I think we ignore.
And we don't often have a choice as to whether we are tired and then have to drive.
Exactly. So my question to you is, how many hours sleep did you have last night, Will?
Oh, well, I did do night shift, and I got home about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I was probably up about 9, 10 o'clock. So, yeah, three hours sleep.
And what do you think your average sleep would be? Through, if you took your a normal week for you, what would your average sleep be, do you think?
I reckon I'm a seven and a half hour sleeper per night.
Okay.
So I monitor this. I try and keep on top of it because we do really horrific shifts.
Yeah.
So when I do leave, I monitor my shift and I'm around 7.5 hours a night when I get stable again.
That's really good. So the human
brain.
What
about you, Beck?
Oh,
should we even ask?
I'm super paranoid about sleep and I try really hard to get at least 8.5 hours.
Really? That's fantastic.
And in the last probably 6 to 12 months, I've made 12 months, I'm going to say, I've made some really hard decisions about cutting some things out of my life so that I get more sleep because it is really crazy the effect that it can have on your body. So your brain is designed to have 7 to 9 hours sleep per night. And I think that's just general knowledge. And so I'll ask you a question, Gabs. What percentage of the population in the world can survive with less than 7 hours sleep?
In the world?
Yeah. What, you know, humans, what percentage of people, you know, you
survive.
Get, you know, you can get people that are saying, oh, I only need 4 or 5 hours sleep a night, you know, and then I'm fine. I can tell you that the percentage of people that can survive without being impaired in any way on less than 7 hours sleep is zero.
I would never have guessed zero.
0%. There is a very, very small number of people that have a genetic condition that makes their brain produce a hormone that says stay awake. But that number of people is less than the likelihood of getting struck by lightning.
Wow. There you
go. So if you're not getting an average of 7 to 9 hours sleep a night, you are impaired. Now, when I say impaired, I don't mean that you're unable to function. I mean you're... some aspect of your life is going to be affected, and that can be driving, that can be your work, that can be your relationships, it could be some point that you are, your body is physically impaired. Sleep is one of those things that evolution has never altered. We've developed over, you know, thousands and thousands of years to cope with different aspects of our environment, but sleep has never been altered. We've always needed 7 to 9 hours sleep.
I don't think I get that.
So you don't, I get which
no,
part?
No, I don't think I actually get 7 to 9 hours.
So not regularly. Not many people do. This is the thing. Not many people do. And in fact, Will, this will interest you. The World Health Organization has just deemed that people that work permanent night shift, because of the effect it has on the body in relation to sleep, have now made defined that as a carcinogenic.
Yes. No, we go through a lot of these studies at work. I'd actually do 2 days, two nights, and I think that's actually more horrific than doing just night shift because I'm literally going from Europe back to Australia every week. So I'm in the constant jet lag mode until such time. I am awarded plenty of days off. I'm very privileged there. And so I'll take blocks of work off. I can have two up to 4 weeks off at a time quite regularly. We've been involved in research, some of the physiological things. I mean, we have mental things, but some of the physiological things that happens to your body, the hormones, the insulin levels go absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Also, you know, we try and manage ourselves at eating patterns, so we try not to eat after midnight. And once again, that can be a struggle because you get to 9 o'clock, you have a reasonable meal, you get to 3 in the morning and you're just starving again. But
yeah, because what's happening to your body, at 3 o'clock is your body is saying, this is the time for me to release all those hormones to help repair everything, to help your brain rest. And you're doing the opposite of what your body wants to do. So then it has to release hormones that it would never release while you're sleeping or at that time of the night. And that makes people that work night shift or shift work more, the thing that you crave is high carb, high fat foods because you need that energy. So I'm not sure if you remember working night shift, Gabs, you'd be like, 3 o'clock in the morning, you'd be like, I need a cheeseburger, get me a cheeseburger.
I do remember
cops
that.
Having coffee and donuts, no surprise, we need the sugar, we need to keep, we are desperate to fight those hormones that are naturally being released to tell us to rest, we have to do the opposite. So then we have issues of weight control, we have issues of mood instability.
Oh, so, that's me, definitely.
So you have a higher rate of anxiety and depression, you have a higher rate of weight related illnesses, cardiovascular problems, diabetes problems, all of these things that people are like, oh, well, that's just life. It's not. You need to sleep. So it can't be avoided that some of us have to work shift work and you know, police and are one of those people. It was only up until a few years ago that our minimum break requirement was only 8 hours. So we'd finish work and you get home and you'd have to wind down a little bit and have 3 hours of sleep and get back up and go and do it all again.
It is insane because, yes, you've got to get home, which can be the average of half an hour for most people in this city. Then, yes, you have to wind down. That's a problem that we have because we have a high stress, high mind job in a lot of ways. So you come home and you're just buzzed and reviewing what's happened that night. So, yeah, going to sleep is impossible sometimes.
So, and then, of course, you get in the car after a long shift and you're driving home and your autopilot is taking over and all of a sudden you're not paying attention and the car in front of you stops, heavy traffic, and you're off in la-la land and then you run into the back of them and have a collision. And that, you know, if there was a test, and you know what? There are these amazing tests, and we haven't brought them in, but they are looking at them that scan drivers' eyes and can test for fatigue.
So do other countries do this with the police forces? So no one does it yet?
No. And you know why? Because everyone would fail.
That's true.
This is really fascinating, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this because this affects a lot of us. It affects me, and I think a lot of people out there, the driving fatigued and how are we going to manage it. I think we'll be talking a little bit more about that. You're listening to The Glow Show with Will and Gabby on Joy 949.
The Glow Show on Joy, where LGBTI liaison officers come together with Joy presenters to keep you informed and empowered. Got a question for Gabby? Get in touch via Facebook. Search Gabby, G-A-B-B-Y, Glow, that's G-L-L-O, and she'll get back to you soon. Or reach out to your local LGBTI liaison officer by calling or dropping into your local Victoria Police Station. Welcome back. This is The Glow Show on Joy.
You're back with The Glow Show with Will and Gabby and special guest Beck Lawther from our Highway Patrol. We've been talking about driving fatigued, which is very interesting because we've been discussing that pretty much everybody at some point and more often than not probably is driving when they're overtired and shouldn't be driving. So, Beck, what should we be doing? And I mean, life is fast paced and we are working a lot of odd hours and long hours. Things aren't slowing down, they're speeding up. So what can we do?
And we're stuffing so much into our day, you know, like wake up in the morning, get your breakfast sorted. If you've got kids, I can't even imagine. I could not have children because I have no time. I don't know how people do it. I think it's astounding. And I think parents are going to be the ones that are most affected by by fatigue and fatigue management, sleep management.
But add to the fatigue factor, you've also got the phones, the online stuff. I mean, how many people are driving fatigued kids in the back,
yeah,
distracted,
yeah,
and then looking at their messages, talking, yeah, on the phone, it all adds up.
It's astounding that our road toll isn't through the roof, really. We humans can manage a lot of things, multitask a lot of things, but you have to remember that you're in a big steel box, you know, specifically talking about
it's
driving.
It's a weapon.
And
it can be.
Your peripheral vision, you know, up, as opposed to from left to right, is very poor, and people just... they get distracted. I know everybody's done it where you're driving home and you're all of a sudden you're like, I don't even remember going up Lygon Street. How did I get here?
Or even remember how did I get home?
Yeah. That's got nothing to do with you, with any other aspect of your physiological state other than fatigue. That it is fatigue. And we're not putting enough emphasis on looking after ourselves in relation to having enough sleep. And people have forgotten how to get into a bed routine, how to get to sleep. Your brain needs to drop 2 to 3 degrees in order for those hormones to be released to tell your brain to go to sleep. So we're lying in bed and we're looking at our phone and we're stimulated by the light from our phone, which is contradicting the hormones that, you know, tell us to go to sleep and tell us to rest.
So it basically tells us to stay awake.
Tells us to stay awake. And then you're lying there and you get all paranoid because you're not getting enough sleep, and so then you don't get sleep.
And when you are a shift worker and you do a full night shift, you get home, especially in summer.
Yeah.
And you go to bed at 6 or 6:30, and then the light's coming through the window, and your eyes see
hot.
That.
Yeah.
And it goes, it sends hormones out, wake up time.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a disaster to your body.
We are so silly with the amount of effort we put into forcing our body to do the opposite of what it's trying to do naturally. It is an amazing machine. It tells you when to eat. It tells you when to sleep. It tells you when to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things. The sunlight automatically in our eyes releases hormones to tell us to get up, and we fight against that. And there's aspects of that we can't change because we need police on the road 24 hours a day, and we need that. But there's other things that you can do, other tools you can use to help your body along. Blackout curtains, for example, for shift workers that have to sleep during the day, you will get a much better quality REM sleep if there's no light in the room. So I think it's about investing a little bit of time in reading about these sort of things. Maybe tracking your sleep a little bit and seeing how much you're getting, and making a little bit of an effort to get into a sleep routine where you're not looking at a screen for an hour before you go to bed, you're eating the right foods, you're paying attention, to what your body is telling you, and then reducing those fatigue issues that really can have a completely detrimental effect on your life.
So actually at the moment out on the road, are you starting to see an increase in problems with fatigue driving?
Definitely.
From shift workers and general people with lifestyle
definitely.
Issues. So it's becoming a problem?
Well, I mean, when you talk about fatigue driving, you normally think, or, you know, collisions because of fatigues, you normally think about country roads because they're boring and there's no stimulus and people.
But this stuff still does happen in the city
this
too.
This is happening. I went to a collision on a Friday night a couple of weeks ago at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. on a Friday night, Lygon Street and Elgin Street. The man fell asleep going up Elgin Street and drove straight into the bollard at the tram stop. Completely rode his car off at 50 k's an hour.
Wow.
Fell asleep.
And no drugs involved.
No drugs, no alcohol. He'd been working as a Uber delivery driver, had started his shift at that evening, earlier that evening, had worked all day.
So that poses the next question. Without getting into specifics, would he be eligible for a charge?
Yes.
Okay, and that would be?
Careless driving.
So what you're saying, it is your responsibility to ensure you are not fatigued,
absolutely.
Regardless of day, time or hour.
Absolutely.
What some of the equipment, we briefly mentioned it previously, there's technology out there that's going to monitor drivers.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Can monitor drivers.
Yeah,
will we see this?
Yeah, look, I don't know if we'll see it because like I said earlier, everyone's going to fail. Like everyone will fail.
I think I couldn't go to work anymore.
Yeah.
Because of the hours we do work and the times that we do start and finish, both days and nights.
And that's not to say, Will, that you can't do your job if you've only had 6 hours sleep the night before. It's just that you won't do it as well, as in your efficiency level, your coordination, your thought processes, the way your body functions will be impaired. Now, depending on how much sleep you've had for that period of, you know, over, say, a month or so, will depend on how much of an impairment that that has on you. Now, if you're somebody, this, I mean, we have a lot of issues with the trucking industry, obviously.
Yeah.
They, you know, driving 12 hours a day and then, unfortunately, you know, using substances to try and get their bodies to stay awake and pushing through and pushing through and pushing through. At some point, your body will quit. Your body will quit and you'll start having, to start with, little micro naps. And micro naps mean eyes open. Your eyes are open, but you've sort of dazed off. That's a micro nap.
Yeah, that's when you don't remember going down a certain street or even remembering how you got home.
Yeah, that is your that's your body falling asleep.
That's terrifying.
Now, this is why the human body is so amazing. It will keep doing what it needs to do, but you might forget to put an indicator on.
Yeah.
Mm. Or you might just drift out of the lane slightly.
Or you might run a light.
Or you might run a light. Exactly. And so it continues going on and on.
But if you're listening to our second episode of The Glow Show during drive and you're in your car driving, take note of some of the things being said today, because you will be one of those people who are driving fatigued and have a think about what you can do differently and make sure you stay focused and make some changes so you're not driving fatigue.
We just want everyone getting home safe.
That's
infinitely fascinating. It's something worth considering. And look, I think it's probably going to be a news item issue or something that will be talked about a lot more. Mm. To me, it's definitely an issue. Certainly personally for me, it's an issue.
Mm.
But yeah.
We all need to be aware. Put that into the front of our minds about how we're looking after ourselves in relation to sleep management.
Yeah.
And it will have an overall amazing health benefit. Exercise and sleep, if you do both of those things, you're running gold.
So I'm going to go run down Bourke Street and then go and have a nap.
Beck, it has been brilliant.
Thanks, Will.
A joy and a pleasure.
Thanks,
Gabby. And thank you for being our first guest on the return of the Glow Show.
I'm hoping I get a medal or something.
We have to put you in for something. But
maybe a nap.
I'm hoping that you'll become a regular guest on the show, because I think Highway Patrol or road issues reach out to everybody, regardless of it reaches outside the LGBTI community. I think it's a great initiative having you in talking about. There's lots of issues to talk about.
We want you in once a month, Beck.
Oh, I reckon.
That'd be nice.
At the least.
Oh, how lovely.
Everybody, you
can
have
put the music back on so I can go back to go-go dancing?
You
let's
all
do it,
have
let's do it.
A lovely, safe and good week. Beck, thank you for supporting us and loving
thank
our
you.
Community. We love and support you back. Gabby, you have a lovely week. We will see you here next week.
Indeed.
You've been listening to The Glow Show on Joy 949.
That's it from us today. Thanks for listening to another Glow Show on Joy. Tonight's episode has just been loaded to the Joy website and our podcast feed on iTunes. So if you missed anything important, you can hear it again now. Please support the volunteers who make the Glow Show happen by subscribing to our podcast and sharing them with your friends on social media. The Glow Show is produced by Will Lansing and Gabrielle Tyack and edited weekly by me, Jason Gibbs. See you next time on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.